Well, welcome, church family. Great to worship with you. Good to have you here. Welcome those of you watching online as we continue our Psalm 23 series. And we want to look particularly at verse 4 today, which speaks to our fears. And I think one of the reasons that Psalm 23 has been so beloved over the years is that it gets to the root of our problems. The spring from which so many of our problems arises is this root of fear. And in our lives, we can find ourselves so often walking through the valley of fear. We can be fearful about the future, all the talk about AI and what the future holds, or what's happening in our society with the polarization and the over-sexualization, and we wonder, what does the future hold for us? We can be fearful about our health or the health of a loved one. We can be fearful about our finances. We can worry about our jobs or going to school in September, as Doug was mentioning, being a teacher, and that's right around the corner. We can be fearful for the next generation, our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, nephews, the kids downstairs in KU. And then there's the fear of death, the one appointment that we will all keep. But in the impending fears that we have, including the fear of death, Psalm 23 is a word of assurance. There was a French chaplain who, as he would meet with his soldiers in the beginning of the day, reminded them of Psalm 23. In fact, he had asked them to write on their hands the five opening words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And each morning before they go into battle, he would just remind them of who God is. And particularly he said, you know, remember the ring finger, the word my, that God is your shepherd. You can count on him. You can depend on him. Even when you're out there in battle, he said, you know, clutch your ring finger to remind yourself God is near to you. Did it have an impact? Well, one morning they found one of their soldiers who had been killed in the battle, and he was indeed clutching that fourth finger. The Lord is my shepherd. And friends, my hope and prayer through this series is that Psalm 23 just isn't something cognitively that we know or even memorize, but that experientially we're living it out, that we can know this one who is a good shepherd. Psalm 23, let me read those first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Last week, we talked about that valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of the deepest darkness, and that we don't need to fear. The psalmist says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. We can count on God's presence. And then the psalmist exclaims, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we want to focus on those two tools today. Those are two tools in the toolbox of shepherding. In fact, I'm told that the tools of shepherding haven't changed much since thousands of years ago when David wrote these words. First of all, we have the rod. And I believe that the rod reminds us we are weak. Let's talk about the rod. A shepherd would make a rod by taking a young sapling and cutting and whittling down, perhaps maybe 2.5 feet long. The base of the sapling, where the roots are, would be formed into this knob. And so it would be trimmed, it would be smooth to fit into the hand of the shepherd. In fact, young shepherds growing up whose fathers were shepherds, they would take great pride in going out into the bush, cutting down or pulling out a young sapling and then shaping and forming it for themselves. And so this rod would become an extension of the shepherd's arm. They would spend hours and hours practice throwing it, kind of like a missile. Young shepherds with a new rod, they would just practice hurling it, almost like a javelin thrower. And they would learn to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It was a main weapon of defense for both the shepherd and the sheep. And the rod, in a sense, exerts the shepherd's power and authority. It's a continuous comfort to him and the sheep that they will be safe. Now, some of the uses of the rod. In David's day, a shepherd would use a rod to discipline the sheep. The sheep would be wandering off, getting too far from the rest of the flock, or perhaps approaching some poisonous weeds, and the shepherd would quickly fling his rod towards that wayward sheep to summon it back to the flock. The rod was also used to examine and count the sheep. In the book of Ezekiel, it's called passing under the rod, that a shepherd would, examine his sheep, in the thick wool. It could easily have, disease, bugs, infections, wounds, etc. And so the shepherd would use his rod to carefully examine the flock and the state of that wool. The rod was also an instrument of protection when the sheep were in danger. The skilled shepherd would take his rod to drive off an enemy. It could be a bear, coyote, wolf, cougar, all sorts of predatory animals that were around. Even snakes that may be hiding underneath a rock. The sheep are walking, step on a rock, a snake comes out, and the shepherd could again hurl this rod against the snake. So this rod, like I said, was an extension of the shepherd's arm, an extension of his strength, his power, his authority. Shepherd and theologian Philip Keller suggests that the rod speaks of the spoken word of God. Just like for the shepherd, the rod is an extension of his arm, likewise, the word of God is an extension of God's mind, God's character, God's will. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the account of Jesus being tempted by the devil. With each of the temptation that Satan brings against Jesus, he quotes from the word of God, the Bible of his day, the First Testament. As someone has said, either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. With the word of God, we're laid bare before God. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way of the everlasting." We lay ourselves open before God, ready for him to search us, to test us, to lead us to the path of life. We, in a sense, can't pull the wool over God's eyes because he's all-seeing, all-knowing. The shepherds in David's day would use their rods to keep the sheep from wandering, ready to hurl the rod at an enemy in an instant's notice. The psalmist declared, "Your rod comforts me." And the sheep would be comforted knowing that their shepherd is carrying a rod. It gave them security. They're not alone. They were protected. Someone was watching out for them. Likewise, the word of God can give us security. As we store it in our heart, God's promises are true. What God says will happen. Even as Greg led our service today, with those words of God's sovereignty. Like sheep, we are weak. And we need to be reminded of a strong shepherd who oversees all and is watching over us. The shepherd's instrument, the rod, like I said, it reminds us we're weak. Now, I realize that may sound offensive to us. Our culture says, hey, look within, find your authentic self, you're strong within you. And yes, I look within myself and I see strength, but I also see weakness. I see God's goodness, but I also see results of the fall. As somebody has said, you're far worse than you think. But the admission that we are weak opens us up, not to an internal solution, but an external one to God. It may be offensive to think of ourselves as being called weak, but think of it this way. Think of it, you go to the doctor, doctor runs some tests. She calls you back in and she says, "I have bad news, you have an aneurysm. We need to operate." And you're like, "An aneurysm? No way. I am feeling great. Doctor, that offends me that you would say that there is something wrong with my body. She says, no, you need surgery. You're like, I'm not having surgery. And against her protest, you walk out of the doctor's office. And let's say you were to die from this aneurysm. What does the doctor write on the death certificate as the cause of death? Really, she ought to write pride. It was pride that prevented you from going forward with the surgery. See, God offends us, compares us to sheep, that we are weak, but he offends us in order to heal us. He knows the truth of our condition. Your rod comforts me. The rod reminds us we're weak. The second instrument there is the staff. And the staff, I believe, reminds us that we're foolish. This is perhaps the more familiar of the instruments of the shepherd. You know, the staff would be about 6 feet long, crook on the end. It's perhaps the only tool that's unique to shepherding. I don't think you use a staff in another profession. And each staff is unique to each shepherd, that they, again, would carefully construct an individual staff. It was selected in just the right branch, cut, chiseled, shaped for the individual shepherd and his height, and to make it unique for himself. The rod was an offensive weapon of attack. The staff, on the other hand, is more a defensive weapon used for comfort and compassion. For example, a shepherd may look at his flock. Mother sheep has had a baby lamb, and they get separated. Well, rather than the shepherd touching this baby ewe and moving it back and risk of human odor being on the animal, he'll use his staff to nudge that baby lamb back to the mother so they can bond. A staff was also used for a sheep that was wandering off the path. The shepherd would nudge the sheep back into the right way. Sometimes the crook of the staff was used to pull a sheep out of water, away from danger. The staff with the curved top was useful for rescuing a fallen or a lost sheep, perhaps trapped in a ravine or a crevice. The staff was also used as an instrument of guidance for the sheep, that the shepherd would lead the staff into a new path, through a gate, along a different route. He doesn't use it to beat the animal, but rather sometimes you take the tip of the staff, gently lay it into the animal's side, and the pressure would remind the sheep to go back on the right side. One shepherd described it as almost like walking hand in hand with a sheep, and the sheep enjoyed this personal attention. And as the shepherd was walking through his flock, inspecting his animals, he would sometimes use the crook to pull a sheep over to himself, again, to examine the wool for any potential diseases or wounds. So the staff, it's used for directing, pointing, lifting, even leaning on when tired, assisting as a walking stick, etc. It's an instrument of comfort, guidance, compassion. It's also a symbol of concern and long-suffering. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, writes these words, Being stupid creatures, sheep often get into the most ridiculous and preposterous dilemmas. I've seen my own sheep, greedy for one more mouthful of green grass, climb down steep cliffs where they slipped and fell into the sea. Only my long shepherd's staff could lift them out of the water back onto solid ground again. One winter day, I spent several hours rescuing an ewe that had done this very thing several times before. Her stubbornness was her undoing. Another common occurrence was to find sheep stuck fast in labyrinths of wild roses or brambles where they had pushed in to find a few stray mouthfuls of green grass. Soon the thorns were so hooked in their wool that they could not possibly pull free, tug as they might. Only the use of the staff could free them from their entanglement. There you hear it from a shepherd. So the sheep need someone to say, stop. Someone to say, don't go there. Someone to say, danger. Watch where you're going. Watch who you're following. Sheep can sometimes be dumb kind of animals. Why don't we take a look at this TikTok video that you may have seen circulating around sheep. Such is the nature of sheep. And God compares us to sheep. There was a story in the Washington Post when I Googled about the foolishness of sheep. It described in Jeva, Turkey, there were shepherds eating breakfast outside of the town where they saw a lone shepherd jump off of a near cliff, fall to its death. And then these shepherds were stunned as they watched the rest of the flock of 1,500 sheep follow, each leaping off of that same cliff. The local Axum newspaper reported that 450 of the sheep perished in a billowy white pile. The last 1,000 were spared because they fell on top of their fellow sheep, you know? But it still was a loss to these shepherds of over $100,000, a significant amount of money in that country. These sheep needed a shepherd, one close by, one who could warn them of danger, one attentive to their needs, one who had their best interests at heart. And likewise, friends, we are compared to sheep. As one commentator put it, sheep are singularly unintelligent. I think that's just a PhD way of saying we're dumb. The sheep are dumb. One sheep jumps off the cliff and the rest of the herd follows. They're stubborn animals, and they frequently find themselves in their own predicament because of their own choices. And much like us, many of our impasses are our own making. We can be so stubborn and self-willed. We can find ourselves stuck or trapped. And then God comes along with his staff, and he draws us near to himself. The rod reminds us we're weak. The staff reminds us that we're foolish. Sheep have been known to eat, you know, continually eat one area of ground. And there's no more grass left, but they're digging away, burrowing for another blade of grass. And 10 meters away, there could be this lush field. And they're still trying to find that one piece of grass. And the shepherd comes with his staff to move the flock along. The two tools that the shepherd uses. And just like the rod could symbolize the word of God, the staff could also symbolize the Spirit of God. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, functions like that staff for the shepherd, guiding us as we journey, comforting us and drawing us near to himself. We can all think of times in our life where we were wandering off. We were moving far away from God, and God brought us back to himself using the Spirit, in a sense, a staff. Let's take a look at verse 4. Let's put it up on the screen there. Let's read it together. This is from the NIV version. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That whatever the darkest valley looks like for you, you walk through it. You keep moving, right? You don't get immobilized. You don't sit down. You don't throw up your hands in despair. You keep walking through the valley. Can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it. You have to go through it. But the valley's not the destination point. It's just part of the journey. As I shared last Sunday, that the shepherd wanted to take the flock on an annual pilgrimage up to the high mountain. In the same way God does for us. The valley is the region between the mountains. The valley reminds us there is a mountain ahead, and God goes with us in our journey. Whatever your valley may be, despair, depression, discouragement, financial challenges, relational challenges, you can count on God to walk with you. And you can count on his tools, the rod and the staff, to comfort you. As I was thinking about the psalm this week, thinking about some of the comparisons that I was doing today between us and the sheep, I was thinking, you know, this psalm is not so much about the sheep as it is about the shepherd. See, even some of the comparisons between us and the sheep, they may break down at some point. But this emphasis here from the psalmist is about the shepherd. He wants to remind us what God is like, our good shepherd, that the shepherd protects. He defends against the enemies of weather, human sheep thieves, predatory animals. That the shepherd provides, he leads the sheep to shelter, to green pastures. He builds a portable fence for his sheep to sleep in at night. That the shepherd guides, that the sheep by themselves will easily get lost. But the shepherd goes ahead, knowing the flock, knowing them, calling their sheep, and leading them. And likewise, friends, our God will do that for you. But do you admit that you need a shepherd? Do you take ownership that you are weak and foolish? Max Lucado, in his book, Traveling Light, which is based on Psalm 23, he describes like an independent Psalm 23. This is what he writes. I am my own shepherd. I am always in need. I stumble from mall to mall and shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines, and I'm starting to act like my mother. I go down to the weekly staff meeting and am surrounded by enemies. I go home and even my goldfish scowl at me. I anoint my head with extra strength Tylenol. My Jack Daniel runs over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life. Friends, you need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Consider your relationships. Oh, some are good, but what about that strained one? It requires the healing touch of a shepherd. What about your moodiness? Some days you're grateful, but other days you're ungrateful, not celebrating God's goodness in your life. You're grumpy. You need a shepherd. Or consider your errors in judgment, the times you crossed the line, the mistakes you made. You need a shepherd. Or consider your fears. You worry about the future, what could be. Friends, we can't control the future, but we know the one who holds it in his hands, our good shepherd, in his strong, good hands. And our fears can so readily keep us up at night as we worry about things. I often have trouble sleeping. How many of you have trouble sleeping too? Okay, some of us have trouble sleeping. This summer, I decided to get an Apple Watch to help me sleep. Yeah, that seems kind of funny, isn't it? You know, use of technology. But I heard other people said to me, hey, you know, that I can track my sleep. And I had a gift card from Apple from a computer I bought last year. I thought, hey, okay, you know, let me put the watch on. So I put the watch on. First night, just getting ready for bed, 11 p.m., it says, time to stand up. I thought, okay, whatever. I lay down, go to sleep. Midnight, the watch goes off, time to stand up. I'm like, what? 1 a.m., time to stand up. I'm thinking, this is crazy, and I'm, you know, I'm hitting the only button that's on here, you know. 2 a.m., time to stand up. That's when I went over to my phone, you know, turned off the notifications, and went back to sleep, you know. Then I saw that it had been programmed to, because the guy had asked me at the Apple Store, do you want the stand-up feature? And I said, sure, you know. But I meant like between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m., not through the night from 11 to 7, you know. And then I went onto my phone. I thought, okay, what does it say about sleeping? You had a terrible sleep last night. Well, of course, you kept asking me to stand up. And then I've learned other things about my heart rate that I didn't know before that I'm not sure I want to know, you know, but evidently I got this watch to help me sleep. Humans, we often have trouble sleeping. You know who else has trouble sleeping? Sheep. In fact, there's four conditions that sheep need in order to sleep. Number one is there needs to be They need to be free from friction within the flock. Sheep can be very competitive. They butt their heads. They want a certain area of grass, and they will fight over it. And this tension in the flock can produce an edginess, an irritability, a restlessness that they won't sleep. Secondly, they need to be free from pests. And this is especially hard in the summertime when there's ticks, bot flies, warble flies, nose flies, all kinds of things that can cause a sheep to be bothered, and then they don't sleep well. Thirdly, they need to be free from hunger. A sheep isn't going to lie down and go to sleep if they haven't been to green pastures or haven't been at a watering hole. And fourthly, if freedom from fears, that there must be no predators around, no hint that there's a wild cougar or something behind the trees, no sound in the distance that can cause them worry. A sheep will bend its legs and lay down when they feel safe, that there's nothing to fear. Four things that a sheep needs in order to sleep. Perhaps some similarities to us as humans. And friends, we need to declare a declaration of dependence, that as sheep, we can be weak, we can be foolish. We need the shepherd, the one with his tools, his staff and his rod that comfort us. And as weak and foolish beings, we need a savior. This Tuesday is going to be the memorial service for author, pastor, theologian Tim Keller. And when I saw the news that he had passed away, I posted this quote on social media from him. "We are more sinful and flawed and in of ourselves than we ever dared to believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dare to hope." I think that just summarizes the gospel so well. As weak and foolish creatures, we need a shepherd. Like I said, the emphasis on the psalm here is on the shepherd, the one who became a sheep. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We sometimes see in the Old Testament the use of the rod by the kings, like in the book of Esther that we walked through last year, that Esther would come before the king and he would extend out his rod, which meant, "Come into my presence." Well, that shepherd who became a sheep for you, dying on the cross, he rose again and he extends that rod. And he says, "You are welcome in my presence. Come as my child." And so I say, friends, stop trying to direct your own life. Stop trying to control things yourself and turn your will over to him, the good shepherd. Let him rule and reign in your life. Whatever your fears, whatever your worries, whatever your anxieties may be, let him lead you. I'm going to invite Ron Cohen up at this time. It's kind of an impromptu testimony here, but Ron and I were just chatting before the service, and you can grab a microphone there, Ron. And I think, Ron, when you walked in, I said something like, "Oh, I'm surprised to see you. You're not at the lake. What's happening at the lake?"
Lots of smoke and fire. A little history. About 24 years ago, my parents bought a property up on Adams Lake. In the last 24 years, it's been a place that we've enjoyed going to. We've built a lot of stuff there, a lot of sweat and toil and money. And it's a place that we've seen our kids grow up, my sister's kids grow up, and it's just been a place of sanctuary. Mm-hmm. We go up there and we work hard up there, but it's really enjoyable to be up there. Well, this year, we went up, I think, beginning of July. We stayed up there for a couple of weeks, then we had to come down for some family commitments. And as we left, there was a little fire that started way up on the top of the mountain behind us. And we looked at it, and it was tiny, so we left for home. It didn't stay tiny, and if any of you have heard of the Lower East Adams fire, that's the one I'm talking about. About a week and a half later, we were given a notice that there was an evacuation alert on the property. There's only one way out of there, and it's over a cable ferry. So we were planning on going up a little bit later, but we just hightailed it up there and got what we could off the property. Because it's vacation property, we don't have insurance on it, but whatever. So we got out of there and came back home. And for the last 3-4 weeks, we've been watching this fire get closer and closer and closer. At its closest point, it came about 200 meters from our property. And we were concerned. And I must say, over the last month, I've had stress. I've had worry. Why us? All that. That all happened. And then at some point, and it wasn't all that long into that process, it just came over me that I said, hold it loosely. Mm-hmm. God told me to hold it loosely. He's in control. We're not. And it's what he's going to do. We held it loosely, and it looks like we might be going back up end of the week, and apparently no damage up there. Mm. Yeah. The mountain's going to look way different to us next year because the whole mountain on the backside of us burned.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep looking out at the lake from now on and not so much at the mountain behind us.
Thank you, Ron, for coming up here impromptu like this. And I wanted Ron, I called him up here. I was over there singing, thinking, how do I end my sermon? And then I just thought of your comment. And I thought of your body posture when I was chatting with you, that you held your hands open. And that's the posture that we have before the Lord, right? Whether our stuff, whatever it may be. And you continue to walk in that posture. Thank you, Ron, for sharing. So, and friends, whatever fear you may have, whatever keeps you up at night, whatever worry or anxiety, can you have that same? Say, God, it's all in your hands. I surrender it to you. I trust you. Why don't we end with some spiritual direction? Why don't you stand and... we're going to have the words of Psalm 23 come up on the screen there. And so, why don't you just stand kind of feet shoulder width apart. Just kind of breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And let's walk through that psalm slowly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Just pause right there. Let those words speak into you. Friends, God is enough for you. The psalm continues. He leads me in path. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Give your weariness over to him right now. Your fear, your anxiety. Let him restore you. The psalm continues, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, friends, there's so much drama in our world, so much toxicity. Let him lead you. Follow him. The psalm continues, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let him speak to you right now. You have nothing to fear. He's with you. And the last line for today, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you, God, our shepherd. You lead, you guide, you protect, you give hope, you draw us to yourself. In your powerful name, we pray. Amen.